here we read, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down at everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. People of God, tell me this. Does anyone else here subscribe to Time Magazine? Yes? Show of hands, Time Magazine. All right. I usually get the Time Magazine a couple of weeks after it comes out because Pastor Amy gets it first. And it stays on that side of the bed until it's ready for the recycle bin, and then it moves its way over. Okay. But if you know how many of you remember the issue that talked about the World Trade Center, do you remember that? Do you remember the photos? There should be one coming up here. Oh, yeah, all right, they're going to get it to go. Very nice. One of the things that I enjoyed about that article and about the pictures that they took from this camera way at the tippy top was the perspective that it gave you, allowing you to see for miles, to see the whole city. It's quite the vantage point, isn't it? I don't know which direction we're facing now. That's east. Very nice. Brooklyn Bridge. All right. There's Manhattan, I would imagine. Right? How about that? It didn't let you do this in the magazine, right? You got to log onto their website to be able to do this. I got a special edition magazine that allowed me to do this in my magazine. But perspective. Vantage point. You can play around with this later. When I read this text for today, when I studied this text for today, one of the things that I noticed was the perspective and the different vantage points that Luke highlights for us in Luke chapter 18. Luke begins by making us aware of who Jesus is talking to when he tells this parable. In verse 9, we read that Jesus is talking to a specific group of people. People who were confident of their own righteousness and who looked down. People who were confident of their own righteousness and who looked down on everyone else. When you hear that phrase, who are confident of their own righteousness and who look down on everyone else, what comes to your mind? To some who are confident in their own righteousness. When I hear this phrase, certain people that I've encountered in my lifetime come to mind. The people who come to my mind are people who are usually right. What they say is right. What they do is right. What they believe is right. They are confident that they are right. From their vantage point, from their perspective, it's very clear that they're right. And even if they are wrong, they're still right. Have you ever met anyone like this? Have you... Maybe have somebody in your family system, right? The Thanksgiving, get around a big table, and they're the right one. Pharisees in Jesus' day were known and they were respected for doing the right things. They were known for following the rules. They were known for their strict observance and their consistent observance of God's instruction for their lives. They were known for their devotion. Their devotion to following God's will for their life. They took this very, very, very seriously. And the problem wasn't in following the rules. Following God's instruction for our lives is a very good thing. The problem wasn't there. Rather, the problem that emerged was the dichotomy that their rule following, the dichotomy that their devotion created in their lives. You see, as they fasted, as they tithed, as they avoided adultery, right, as they didn't cheat or steal, they began to distance themselves from the people around them. They distanced themselves geographically. They would start to avoid or separate or stay away from certain people. And they also distanced themselves in an attitudinal way with their attitude towards other people. As they followed these rules, as they devoted themselves to God's instruction, they began to look down at other people. They considered others less and themselves more. They began to treat other people with scorn and with contempt. They also began to distance themselves spiritually. They began to distance themselves spiritually from the God they were trying to serve and that they were so devoted to. How did they do this? Because they did this by moving the source of righteousness from God to within. Their righteousness and their acceptability for God was dependent upon what they did or didn't do. It was based on their own efforts and their own works. They had a certain perspective, a certain outlook, one that looked down. We can hear this separation. We can hear this perspective in the prayer that the Pharisee prayed. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, and adulterers. Or even like this poor chap over here, right? This tax collector. I fast twice a week. And I give a tenth of all I get. God, I thank you that I am not like the other people here who do the wrong things. I thank you that I'm like me. Someone who does the right thing. God, do you see all the good things that I'm doing here? Because if not, I do. Right? I do. Then there's the other person in Jesus' story. Right? There's another person in the temple, not too far away. A person with a different vantage point, a different perspective. In Jesus' parable, there was also a tax collector. And if the Pharisees were known for their devotion and for keeping the rules, tax collectors were known for breaking them. Tax collectors were notorious for collecting the tax for Caesar right, the emperor of the Roman Empire, they were, you know, known for doing their job very well, collecting those taxes for Caesar, but they were also known for collecting a few taxes for themselves at the same time. Tax collectors were known for their ability to skim and to cheat and to swindle and to steal, to shave a little off the top, we would say. Tax collectors, they distanced themselves in a different way through their cheating and through their stealing. And when it came time for the tax collector to pray, he wasn't climbing on any ladders, or he wasn't trying to stand on any pedestals or any podiums to be in the spotlight so that everyone could see and could hear him. No, he was cowering down. He was cowering down, and where was he looking? He wasn't even looking up to heaven. Right? He was down like this, beating his breast, beating his chest. Why? Because this is the symbol of the heart. This is the symbol of the soul of a person. When you beat your chest, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of sorrow. It's a sign of penitence. When you're on your knees and when you're beating your chest, you're saying, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need God in my life. And we can see this. We can see this in the tax collector's prayer, can't we? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Literally, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. I'm the sinner. Two different prayers. Two different perspectives. Two different vantage points. David Lowe, professor of preaching at Luther Seminary, notes for us in his comments on these verses that in Jesus' parable, you have one who locates his righteousness entirely in his own actions and his being. His prayer of gratitude may be spoken to the Lord, but it's really all about himself. And then you have the other one who knows that he possesses no means by which to claim righteousness. He has done nothing of merit. Indeed, he has done much to offend the law of Israel. And for this reason, he stands back, hardly daring to even approach the temple. He simply throws himself at the mercy of the Lord. And here's the contrast. One makes a claim to righteousness based on his own accomplishments, while the other relies entirely on the Lord's benevolence. Rather than be grateful for his blessings, the Pharisee appears smug. Smug to the point of despising others. In his mind, there are two kinds of people, the righteous and the immoral. And he is grateful that he has placed himself among the righteous. The tax collector, on the other hand, isn't so much humble as he's desperate. He's too overwhelmed by his plight to take time to divide humanity and different people groups into sides. All he recognizes as he stands near the temple is his own great need. He therefore stakes his hopes and his claims not anything that he has done, but entirely on the mercy of God. What happened? What happened as the result of this tax collector's prayer? What does Jesus say? He says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other one, went home justified before God. Jesus says, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other one, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be made righteous. It means to be made righteous by the Lord. To be cleared of all charges related to our sins. What's the pathway? What's the pathway? What's the ticket to justification? What's the pathway to being cleared? Jesus says it's humility. What does it mean to be humble? It means to be fully dependent upon the Lord. It's to dismiss reliance on self. It's emptying ourselves of our ego. And it's exalting the Lord. It's to bring down one's pride. It's to have a modest opinion of oneself. It's to have an unassuming manner, devoid of all haughtiness. John Calvin, in his comments on these verses, says, two things especially make our prayers void and of no effect: confidence of our own righteousness and our contempt of others. But a humble heart, he says, is contrary to both of these things. A humble heart is contrary, right? A humble heart is a pathway to something different. What does humility do? Humility changes our perspective. It changes it from this. Voila, right? Here I am. Look at me. I'm super. Look at all the great things. Changes it to this. Humility is the pathway that leads us to justification. Justification by God. Justification by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not this, right? This is self-justification. This is self-righteousness. This is trying to do it on our own. We don't need God for this. Humility is the pathway to this. Acknowledging that we're a sinner. That we need to be made clean. And acknowledging that Jesus came for that very reason. People of God, do you remember the setting of the parable today? Do you remember the setting? Where were the two men? Where were the Pharisee and the tax collector? They were in the temple. David Lowe notes for us that he doesn't think that this is an accident. He doesn't think it's an accident that this exchange, this story takes place in the temple. Why? Because on the grounds of the temple, you were always aware of who you were, of what status you had and what you could expect from God. Certain people were allowed to go certain places in the temple. Some were allowed here, some were allowed there, some weren't allowed there. You were always separated. You were always judged. I wonder, have things changed very much in 2,000 years? They were at the temple, right? They're at the temple where there's insiders and there's outsiders. And according to these rules, there was no question where the Pharisee and the tax collector stood. But when Jesus dies, all of this changes. If you keep reading the Gospel of Luke, there's a story that he tells. In Luke chapter 23, in the middle of the temple, in the Holy of Holies, there was a curtain that separated. A high priest could only go in there once a year, because that was the the dwelling place of God. Only one person, one time a year, was allowed to go in that place. And there was a curtain that was dividing it. No one could go inside. But when Jesus dies, what happens to that curtain? Does anyone know? What? It rips. That's exactly right. It rips. From the top to the bottom is torn. This big, tall curtain. It rips. And what does that symbolize? What does that symbolize? The love and the forgiveness and the grace of God is poured out. And who has access? Everyone. That's exactly right. Everyone. Pharisees have access. Tax collectors have access. Everyone has access. At the end of the story, both the Pharisee and the tax collector, they go home. The Pharisee came doing the right things, and he goes doing the right things. But he misses out on the justification of God. The tax collector, however, comes and leaves differently. The tax collector comes and he leaves justified, accounted righteous by God. How has this happened? On what basis? The basis of God's authorization, on the basis of His decree. Very soon, you and I, we're going to go out that door. We're going to leave this temple, this house of worship, this holy space, and we're going to go back home. The question to you, the question of our text is this morning is, how are we going to go? In what way? Are we going to go out self-righteous? Or are we going to go out justified? The answer will depend on our perspective. Pray with me this morning. Loving Father, let us who are here this morning, let us who are here this morning hear Your gracious call to us. Lord, let us hear Your gracious call to us this morning, not in preening religiosity, where we compare ourselves with others, but instead, Lord, let us hear Your gracious call in desperate humility. Where we cast ourselves on Your mercy. Lord, help us hear Your gracious call to us this morning. Help us to hear it in desperate humility so that we cast ourselves upon Your mercy. If there's any self-righteousness among us this morning, Lord, if there's any religiosity, call upon Your Spirit to sweep that away. Please wash that away. Please take that away. Lord, instead, replace it with a humble heart. A heart that acknowledges the sin, acknowledges the mistakes that we have done. Replace it with a heart that instead calls out for mercy, for Your mercy, for Your forgiveness and for Your justification. As we pray this morning, God, have mercy on us who are sinners. May we live today justified. May we live today as people who are free, not by what we have done, but by what You have done. Help us to receive that freedom that is available to us. That life-giving power
that life-giving power of your Spirit, may that fill our hearts and our lives today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.